This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp. This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also the last installment in our Maternal May series, which might give you pause given the fact that it's June right now at the time that you're listening to this. So unfortunately, during this episode, we had some issues with our guest's audio, and despite delaying the editing process for about a week, which is why the episode is late, in the end, we were not able to get that audio. So the good news is that the second half of the episode is there. We were able to get that. So in a bit, you're going to hear us talk to a Black reproductive psychotherapist named Salim about perinatal mood disorders, so think like postpartum depression, for example, how to spot those kinds of disorders, treatment, symptoms, and things of that nature. We also spoke to Salima about her work, traumatic birth experiences amongst Black reproductive people, gender dynamics in the birthing process, and so much more, but unfortunately that audio is in limbo right now. So hopefully we can release it one day, but in the meantime, take a listen to the rest of this episode because it's still very good and insightful, and we'll hit you up in a few days with a new group episode for the month of June. Thanks, y'all. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho living in New York City whose pronouns are she and her.
And Akua, whose pronouns are she and her, who doesn't have a feisty intro today. I wasn't prepared.
The fact that you said feisty, I thought you were just gonna say Akuba, whose pronouns are she and her. And
then
you were
there. We go. Stop. There we are. That's all you need to know.
Here goes she over there. On this show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my lovely, awesome, rotating co-hosts, talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is an interview episode, and it is the last episode in our 2019 Maternal May series. And once again, I wish I had flowers for you. But I don't, so I'll throw wigs at you.
I'll accept that. That is fanfare that I need.
Yeah, but we did another great thing.
Yes.
Y'all are going to really learn from this episode. Do you want to tell the people what we're talking about?
We are talking about traumatic birth experiences. We're talking about Black maternal mortality rates. Ooh.
Yeah.
Words. We are talking about postpartum mental health disorders. And we are talking with a bad bitch.
Yes.
Who is out there moving.
Yes. Doing this work.
Doing this work in Pennsylvania.
Yes. Philadelphia specifically.
Yes.
You got to get out there, man. We really got to get out there. You know what? It really kicked off because Feminisa Jones is originally from, she was born in Queens. Let me just say that. But okay. She's originally from the Bronx. But she lives in Philly. And ever since then, it's just been these Philly niggas just doing the thing, doing the damn thing. Yeah, so it was a really good interview. Excited to share that with you all. But before we get into that, we have a couple of short segments. They are
Bay of the Week.
We talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week.
We shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
We give y'all some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
And pay a ho.
Where we ask for the money, beg for the money that we so, so need because this interview on the technical end, when I tell you I was throwing wires all over the place while Salima was talking.
Samantha was out. This connected thing.
This is like a jerry rig setup. Like,
and now you have an interview.
Yes.
There we go.
Exactly.
Thank you, Samantha, for your labor, your ingenuity, and your knowledge.
We gotta do what you got. We gotta do what we gotta do out here.
Yeah. So if you guys want to follow along with this conversation we have on this podcast on social media, you can do so using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, Black feminism, or the other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, and doing a podcast by your goddamn self. We would love to talk about that.
So you can learn how to jerry-rig this shit.
Exactly. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. And we'll offer you a sheet of our services because we have that now. So if you want it, come get it. Let's go on to Bay of the Week now. Okay, so we have a couple of Bays of the Week this week. The first is, there's a show called Chambers on Netflix. And I feel like I need to force you to watch it because it's scary. And I know you don't like love that, but you have to watch it anyway.
I watch whatever Smith talks.
Exactly.
It's always good.
It's a good show. So this show is it's a series. It's a body horror type show. Basically, the premise is that like there's a white girl's heart and a Native American girl, and chaos ensues. But it's not like, it's not weird. I would like to have, I kind of want to like, because I like listening to podcasts after I watch a series. So I kind of want like a Native American person to review the episode or to review the show. But yeah, it's like very creepy and it's weird. And like the way it's shot is very good. And then also there's like a dope ass lead in it. And she is the first indigenous lead in a Netflix series ever. Yeah. Which is a damn shame. But I'm not surprised. But I'm glad that she's doing the damn thing. And then her best friend in the series is a black girl. And they just have such a cute relationship. Yes. And they're both like really good actresses. And I follow them on Instagram now. And like they have like really cool style and stuff like that. She's like very like sex positive on her page. Let me say what her name is. So the lead for this show, her name is Seven Rose. I'm not sure if it's pronounced Sivan or Seven, but she like puts sevens in her names on social media and stuff like that. So I'm thinking it's Seven. And she's like very like gothic and like witchy, but also like sex positive, and her shit is funny. So I definitely would like to shout her out and shout out Chambers, just because like Netflix does this thing where like they'll have black stuff, but they like won't tell anybody that it exists. Because I did not see this anywhere until somebody was like, you should watch Chambers. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch Chambers. But like, show me that shit, nigga. Stop showing me like the same five white fucking white. Exactly. I'm not watching that. Just kidding. I am watching that. I also watch the white shows. I just watch a lot of content. But I want to watch the fucking people of color content too. So shout out to Seven. I'm going to link her social media in the description of this episode because she's mad cool on Twitter and Instagram. And then we want to give a shout out to our Scandinavian homies from Sweden, Razieritz. So that's Fana and Ami, because their documentary finally came out.
Yes.
The English version of their documentary. So in October of last year, we did an episode called Swedish Anti-Feminist Rage with Razieret, who is a Swedish podcast consisting of Fana and Ami. And they talked to us about a whole bunch of cool shit. And they were just also super fun and also very, very gorgeous people. they talked a little bit about a docuseries that they were doing called Fana and Ami Strip Trip, where they kind of explored and unpacked their personal connection to strip culture while talking to strippers in like major strip cities. So they were here, they were in Miami, and they were in Texas, I think. I haven't watched the full documentary yet, but I did. We always said that we would like link it out when it came out, and now it's here for English consumption. But I am super excited to actually watch it, and I'm very, very proud of them for doing a thing.
Yeah, I'm so excited it finally came out. We could share it with you guys.
Yes. And we have two other bays of the week this week.
Yeah. So my bays of the week are Caden Coleman and Kennedy Powell. So one thing you might have noticed from our Maternal May series is that we didn't highlight trans men.
Yes.
Who's given birth.
Yeah.
And we know that trans men can give birth.
Yes, exactly.
If they choose to, they can reproduce if they choose to. Yeah. And that was not intentional.
No, we actually had an episode scheduled. I just got extremely sick week.
There was a lot going on, and there was a lot of labor put into trying to get that episode together and getting that perspective as a part of the series, because we knew it would be a miss without it. Unfortunately, it didn't, and hopefully one day we can get it out for you.
Yeah,
you know, because again, it regardless of if it didn't happen in this series, it can always happen in the future.
Exactly. At any point in time.
One of our potential guests was Caden Coleman. And he is a trans man who has given birth, and he has a
black trans man.
Oh yes, I'm sorry. A black trans man. I only acknowledge black people. I'm wrong. but a black trans man who's given birth. And he has a YouTube channel, which Samantha will link, where he has actually kind of
documented.
Thank you.
Birds. His journey.
Documented his journey in transition, as well as his journey reproducing and giving birth as a trans man. And we wanted that perspective on the show, but he gives a good summation of it in a couple of videos on his YouTube, as well as through his whole journey from reproducing, delivering, and parenting as a trans man. We definitely want to shout him out for that, and we want to give you a chance to get his perspective and his experience through his words, through his YouTube channel. So definitely go over and, you know, take in that content. And we will link his Instagram where you can follow him as well in the description. And then there is my second bae of the week, Kennedy.
Kennedy Power.
Yes, Kennedy Power, who I had found in my search for a trans man and their birthing story. And he just took me aback because he looks just like my baby daddy and he fine. And that's it. Now, I'm horrible.
And that's it.
I'm shallow. Period. That's it. That's the whole tweet.
Sometimes we find guests who we want to lay, you know?
Yeah.
This is kind of disrespectful because this is a married man. But yes. Honestly, and, Charlie looked good too. So
no. Let's talk about it.
Pop in. Let me not sing Chris Brown, but like, let's get it on and pop in if you know me.
I ran into Kennedy on Instagram while looking for a potential guest. I never outreached him just because
he was too fine.
It would have came out
opening a door though.
I was slitting DMs in the wrong way. But Kaden had a perspective that I really, really wanted to explore. But Kennedy is still fine. He and his wife have a very unique story of transitioning together, parenting together, reproducing together, which is a perspective in its own, which I also want to explore one day. And Samantha will link an article that details their experiences and journey together in the description below. But if you ever want to know what a Kua's type looks like, look at Kennedy. Because I just looked at, you could put a picture of him and my baby daddy side by side and be like, those are the same niggas, what you talking about? He's just fine.
That's funny. So if you look like a Kua's type, please write into IHUpodcast @gmail.com with a selfie.
I'll try to make you a guest. I'll try to, you know, like, date you. I don't know what's going to happen, but...
Imagine if it's a cishet, man. Like, what are we going to talk to that nigga about? The fact that y'all don't communicate properly and we're sick of it. Yeah. So, how about that? Tired of y'all niggas.
Oh, yeah. So those are our bays of the week. Again, we didn't want anyone to think that we had purposely excluded trans narratives from this series because no.
Yeah.
Especially given the current discourse on the abortion laws and how that is erasing trans men's experiences in that conversation.
Yes.
That is not our intent.
Yes.
Both of these niggas is fine. We gonna get them on the show next time.
That's
hilarious. That is it.
That's exactly why. We also didn't purposely, I know we didn't do an episode strictly devoted to abortion. We didn't purposely eliminate that narrative. It's like, there's just a lot of things to talk about when it comes to reproduction. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't all come together.
Yeah, it doesn't all come together, getting guests and things like that. It all doesn't happen in the time frame. But we always keep these things in our back pocket. And when we can, it comes out for y'all.
Exactly. Let's move on to Ho of the Week now. So Hoes of the Week this week. So this happened a while ago, but it's also been a while since we recorded. Everybody who came out to Pod and Live NYC.
Yes, I'm twerking in my chair.
That was a great time. That was a lovely experience.
It really was.
Yeah.
I was overfilled with emotion, but I always am. But
it's like cancer nigga shit.
Yeah.
Gang.
But it was a good ass, black ass time.
Yes, it really was.
I forgot I was supposed to be networking. I was just there twerking. I was just on top of chairs, shaking my ass, having a good ass time in community. And I was just so happy to be a part of it.
Yeah. Which is like, you see with me and Jay talk about this a lot, it's our version of networking. Mm-hmm. Like, who's to say you can't meet somebody while you're twerking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have saw me throw my ass and was like, I got to get to know her. And it's like, oh, she podcasts as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So obviously very special shout out to the organizers, T with Queen and Jay, for doing that shit every fucking year.
Yes.
Yeah. And then all of the listeners, old and new, who we met there or saw again, like Anna. Anna was the first person I saw.
Yeah, I think so.
She was just up in there.
Hey, how you doing?
Exactly.
Drinking hand ready.
Exactly. Yeah, that was really fucking fun. Thank you all for coming out. Now let's go on to self-care tip of the week. So the first self-care tip of the week, I want to say that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And BetterHelp is an online portal that provides direct-to-consumer access to behavioral health services, offering online counseling and therapy services. And Inner Hall Uprising listeners get 10% off their first month at by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. So if you're looking for some teletherapy, that is something that is available to you. More about that later on in the episode. The second self-care tip of the week is to take care of your motherfucking self while you're working. Because I purposely don't.
What do you mean?
Okay, so I do this a lot more now that like I work from home. But I also know that I used to do it when I would work in offices and stuff like that. But like, sometimes I'll like sit down and hunker down on like an edit or like responding to emails or something like that. And like I'll have to like pee or like there's a like crick in my back or something like that. And I'll be like, okay, let me just like go through 10 more minutes of this edit and then I'll pee. Mm-hmm. Or let me answer this many more emails and then I'll get up and stretch.
Yeah.
Don't fucking do that. That's like a terrible thing to do to yourself. You're like bartering off your well-being for like labor.
For productivity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. That doesn't do it. Like, you're gonna pee eventually. Mm-hmm. Or like your fucking back is gonna hurt and then you're gonna have to like,
I mean, that email can be answered.
Exactly. Eventually. It will happen. Yeah.
Your back pain can be something serious.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's going to catch up to you. So don't physically punish yourself while you're working just to accomplish the work. It's just not a good idea.
There's always gonna be more time to accomplish this work.
Exactly. And then even if there's not, fuck the work, son. Like, fuck the fucking work.
Because if you're not here, what's going to happen with that work? Nothing.
Yeah, there's like a, we just like treat labor very, very oddly. Like, you're on this earth for no reason, depending on what your personal like spiritual beliefs are. But like, there's not necessarily a reason why you're here, but you do have basic bodily functions that you do. Mm-hmm. You're not born like, oh, this bitch is a podcast producer. That's all she got to do is produce. But like, she do got to pee though.
You've been peeing for a while.
Exactly.
Like, some in utero. Like,
exactly. Like,
it should come first.
Exactly.
But yeah, so relationship with labor and productivity and capitalism is really fucking jarred. Like,
yeah. It's fucked up. All right, now let's plug some events or just some things. Some things going on. It's me and Mrs. Jones. So our next Sex Trivia Sunday is happening June 2nd at Love Story at 5 p.m. And it's sponsored by Babeland.
Yes.
And it's going to be another good one because now it's actually fucking hot. So it's going to be like spicy in there. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to come all wearing thongs. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, thongs? I didn't get the bodysuits. I didn't get the memo, but I'm ready.
There will be asses out, okay? There will be prizes. There will be sex experts. There will be
alcohol.
Yes, there cum will be shots.
Good weather.
Exactly.
There'll be our beautiful selves.
Yes, your beautiful selves.
Me twerking.
Yes, learning.
All of it. Yes. That sounds like a good ass college
questions.
Term.
It really is. Yeah. Bring yourself. Make a new friend. Bring yourself. Don't make a new friend. Just sit there in the cut. Bring a date. Bring your squad. Bring your mom. Like, long as you're 21, it's really fine. Bring your dad. I know Father's Day is coming up.
Nice way to bond.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, yeah. Nigga, you never taught me about the birds and the bees. Let's learn right here. He's like, oh shit. What's a clitoris? I don't know why anyone's dad sounds like that. Okay, so.
So yeah, come through June 2nd, 5 to 8 p.m.
Yes.
At Love Story Bar, and that's 894 Wyckoff.
Yes. If you want to compete, we encourage you to who's twerking, who's been twerking. The whole episode.
The whole episode.
If you want to compete, use the RSVP link in the description of the episode. And it's all free, so come through. Next plug. Not Yet is a podcast all about growing up and the relationships that help you get there. It's a podcast that I worked tirelessly on for the past couple of months. And it's very good. We explore different relationships or different relationships. Relationship dynamics with different people. So there's like roommates, there's sisters, there's cousins, there's people in a relationship, mother parent, parent child bonds. It's all very fucking good. Everybody who participates in the podcast is either a Black person or a person of color or a queer person. Every episode is about 20 minutes long, so it's like a digestible storytelling podcast that I really think that you should fucking listen to. Also, Rebecca and Rob are on it, so if you like them, you can listen to those episodes. So to listen, you can go to the link that is in the description of this episode, and I hope you enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, Juneteenth, our friends Tea with Queen and Jay, who we were just talking about because they did Pod and Live NYC, are coming back again a month later with Juneteenth. So if you don't know what Juneteenth is, it is the day that slaves in Texas finally got word that they were free years after the actual Emancipation Proclamation had passed. This happened all around the U.S., slaves remaining slaves long after quote-unquote emancipation, and then also today in the U.S. prison system. So what Tea with Queen and Jay does is to work to dismantle white supremacist patriarchal capitalism every day, and a part of that disruption is gathering together to celebrate the existence of Black people, our personhood, and like breathing while Black. I went to the one last year. It was fucking fun as shit. I go to every Pod and Live NYC. It's fucking fun as shit. The live shows are fun as shit. I don't know what else you need to hear from us.
I don't.
Just come. What is your problem? Unless you like can't or whatever.
And then we understand.
Exactly. So that happens Wednesday, June 19th. That's why it's called Juneteenth, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. We would love to see you there. I'll be there.
I want to be there, but it's on Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't think you can be there. Care. Yeah, I don't think you can. I'm sad. You'll be there in spirit. I'll carry a photo of you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, and now we're going to take a quick break. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? It might be anxiety about your career or stressors from feeling burnt out, having to constantly engage in cis, white, heteronormative, patriarchal capitalism day in and day out. So for me personally, like at this very moment, I'm extremely exhausted having to deal with stuff like that, and I appreciate having someone to sort through those feelings with. If you're like me and you're going through it, and you need someone to open up to, you might want to try BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online portal that provides direct-to-consumer access to behavioral health services, offering online counseling and therapy services. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours when you sign up. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's just professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. The process is super easy, and you can customize important things like the sexuality, gender, and race of your counselor, so you can feel most comfortable in your counseling experience. Then, once you get matched, you log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly phone or video sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/IHU and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Inner Hoa Uprising listeners get 10% off of your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. That's betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, and U as in uprising. Now let's get into the show. All right, now we're heading into our topic of the day, and that segment is called Fuck It. And today we're speaking about traumatic birth as it pertains to Black people who reproduce with Salima.
Yes. Salima, whose pronouns are she and her, is a reproductive psychotherapist in Jenkintown in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Over the last decade, Salima has worked in maternal and child health and wellness in multifaceted capacities. She has held positions as a birth, postpartum doula, and a certified lactation consultant. Since graduating in 2018 with a master's in clinical counseling, she has launched a private practice and established her nonprofit organization, Oshun Family Center, which is dedicated to reducing Black maternal mortality and treating perinatal mood and anxiety disorders in the Black community. Salima has also recently participated in developing a task force for releasing 12 pregnant women from Riverside Correctional Facility with her local DA's office. She's worked to change policy that would expand doula access to underserved communities in Pennsylvania. And in the past week, she recently partnered to put on the first annual maternal mental health conference in the Philadelphia area.
So amazing.
She is true to this, y'all.
Yeah.
What more proof do you need? We welcome Salima.
Welcome, Salima.
Your specialty, perinatal disorders. How did you get into that?
So many, many moons ago, when I was just a young lad, I had aspirations of being a midwife. My mother was a nurse, and she worked on the labor and delivery floor a lot, or in the nursery. And so way back then, that's when we still had the nurseries that had the windows. So anytime I would go up to my mom's job, she would take me past the nursery because I was able to see the babies. And I just really connected and bonded to that area. And while going through schooling, I had to change my career path because I realized I don't really do numbers well. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm quoting statistics, you know, I'm like, is it 1,000 or 100,000? And I'm always like second guessing it. So I'm like, I can't second guess when I have to give somebody medication, so I'm just not going to do this. Mm-hmm. But there's a different way that I can help this population, and I'll have to figure it out. So that's how I became a doula. And I was also an obstetric coordinator for a major hospital here in Philadelphia. So I was always around maternal and child health and wellness, always mm-hmm. around pregnant women. And so I figured, like, this is where I'm supposed to be. Later on in my career, I worked at Riverside Correctional Facility, which is the female county jail here in Philadelphia. And I worked there for a few years, and I realized as I was a doula, a lactation consultant, a case manager, and a parenting facilitator, which I did, like, parenting workshops inside the jail, that we do all of this, but nobody is addressing the mental issues that these women go through. No one is addressing their trauma and how that impacts their life. No one is doing therapy with women in jail. Mm-hmm. So I really made the commitment to the ladies that I was working with. And I said, you know what? When I leave, I'm going to get my degree. And when you come out, I will treat you. And they were like, yes, that sounds great. And it was all the times where they would just come up to my office for our weekly, basically, sessions. But I wasn't a therapist, so I didn't have any clinical advice or clinical strategy to give them to help them cope. So I really just was holding space for them. And once I got to school, I realized what it was that I can do better. So after getting out of grad school, or actually my last year in grad school, I'm like, how do I tie all of this together? I don't want to lose the maternal mental health piece of it, and I don't want to just be like a general practitioner. And I realized I can marry the two, because maternal mental health was a thing, and if it wasn't a thing, I was going to make it a thing because that's what I wanted my focus to be. And then it just opened up a world of resources and people, and I really missed being in the birth worker community, and now I'm back in it, and I have found my footing. I'm like, I found my calling. I love what I do. I can literally sit and do therapy all day long, which I do 6 days a week amongst doing everything else. So I'm like, I have arrived. I'm here. I love what I do, and anybody that I come across needs to know the population that I advocate for and the love I have for my profession.
Salima's a badass bitch. She out here with nonprofits, private practices, conferences.
Amazing things when Black women come together.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, both of my supervisors are older Black women, and they seen something in me that I wasn't quite comfortable with seeing in myself. And so they both pour into me differently and ignite certain things out of me. Mm-hmm. The conference, a Black woman reached out to me and said, here's what I want to do. I'm a visionary. And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. All of the perinatal mental health specialists that I know up and down the East Coast right now are all Black women. And I'm like, y'all are dope. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Like, to my experience to this day in this field of birth work and being a perinatal mood specialist, there has not been one shady kind of encounter. Mm-hmm. For the most part, everybody is like, all right, sis, what you want to do? How can I help you? How can I be there? How can I support you? And it's reciprocal. And we're just like creating and sprinkling all this Black girl magic all over everywhere we go.
That sounds amazing. I wish I was there. Mm-hmm.
Listen, come on down.
I'm on the next bus. I'm just out. I'm like, we gotta go. There's a calling in PA. We gotta go. So you found your calling. It's perinatal mood disorders. Tell us about what perinatal mood disorders are.
So perinatal covers the time, let's say, while you're trying to conceive. So before, during, and after a delivery. And so we say delivery because it doesn't have to necessarily result in a live birth. It can be an ending of a pregnancy, however the ending may come, whether it is, a termination, if it is a miscarriage, if you had had a stillborn, if you had a premature birth and your babies are in the NICU or your children perished. So all around that time and better understanding what it looks like. So everyone focuses on postpartum depression. And so those symptoms are more, commonly spoke about. So you have, and so you have to look at it because all of the symptoms can be a result of what, having a baby. And so you have to realize, like, how is this impacting my daily life? Like, you're tired. And so they say, like, fatigue. And you're like, okay, well, I'm sleep deprived. And, a bunch of those symptoms. And then there's anxiety, and knowing what the symptoms for anxiety is, excessive worrying. Is my baby breathing? Is my baby eating enough? Is my child doing this? Are they meeting all their developmental markers? Just the excessive worrying. Maybe not wanting to drive your car because you don't want to get into a car accident because your kid's in the car. Not wanting to walk down the street because someone could jump the curb and, kill your child. OCD, excessive anything with OCD, whether it's cleaning, talking, spinning, writing, checking, all of those things. And then psychosis is, a complete, and I say psychosis is a complete overhaul of your mind, body, and your soul, because you see things, you hear things, and you do things that you do not remember, that are not there, and are not the reality of the situation. So it's kind of like living in an alternate universe when you're going through postpartum psychosis, because you're not sure what's real and what's not. So the gamut of those things come about during that phase, before, during, and after. And you have to also understand that if you have depression before you got pregnant, you're still going to have depression after you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. You have anxiety before, you'll have anxiety after. And so it changes, because we want to know, is your depression or your anxiety a direct correlation of your pregnancy and your birth experience versus having it before and now having it after? We mm-hmm. don't treat it any different, but the course in which we are giving you different strategies and interventions come a little differently.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to, I want to jump into some of these disorders specifically and speak about symptomology, give concrete examples of what they look like just a bit more. So for postpartum depression, what are symptoms of postpartum depression that has started after delivery, I guess?
So you have a 2-week period after you deliver, which is the baby blues phase. Mm-hmm. And so looking at that and seeing the full adjustment that your body is going through with hormonal imbalances and pretty much your placenta being removed is where I say all your sanity is held. But no, so better understanding what that looks like. So persistent sadness, fatigue, not sleeping for days, like a self-loathing attitude, not being able to, pick yourself up and do your daily activities. It can be loss of appetite. And understanding the irritability and isolation when you have a child, because it takes a village, but the times that we live in now, we don't often have a village. So it is very isolating. Anxiety, loss of energy. And so ultimately, you are the expert of your body. So you know what it was like during your pregnancy and before you were pregnant, right? And if these symptoms are coming up after you're pregnant and you just can't really grab your footing, like you are overwhelmed with all of these and nothing is getting better, those are glaring signs of postpartum depression. And of course, suicidality. Are you thinking about harming yourself? Are you thinking about harming your baby? One that we don't necessarily put in any specific classification because it can happen throughout them all is intrusive thoughts and how they kind of pop into your mind. Sometimes they pop right out. But if you're thinking while you're giving your child a bath, oh my God, I may drown my baby. And of course, it's not your intention to drown your baby, but the anxiety of that occurring is kind of what perpetuates and ruminates in your thoughts. So those are things to think about and to not suffer in silence about. So that goes right into postpartum anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Postpartum anxiety is the excessive worrying about, mostly it's your baby, but then it's also like external things. Regarding like your finances, returning to work, if your baby is breathing, if you are losing sleep because you're watching your baby to make sure they are breathing, feeling that something bad is going to happen, racing thoughts, disturbance in sleep, inability to sit still, and then physical symptoms like dizziness, hot flashes, and nausea. So those are all symptoms of postpartum anxiety. And again, you are the expert of your body, so you know how you were before versus how you are currently functioning. And then one that we don't really talk about a lot is postpartum OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. We can actually put the intrusive thoughts into that category more, even though it goes into every category, especially if it's self-harm, or so depression, rumination, anxiety. But your obsessions can come in with intrusive thoughts. Your compulsions come in that may include like checking and rechecking, which can also be, you know, anxiety. A sense of horror about your obsessions, fear of being left alone, hypervigilance, and just having like really bizarre thought patterns. So if you understand that you're like ruminating over a thought over and over and over again, and now you're ruminating your thoughts. And so it's just like this cycle that just keeps going on. And then as I explained last, but certainly not least, postpartum psychosis. So you have delusions, hallucinations, maybe auditory delusions, if you're hearing voices, if you are seeing things on the floor that do not exist, and you're kind of tapping in and out of reality and psychosis, because you can see reality wise there's nothing on the floor, but in your psychosis mind is telling you that your baby is crawling on the floor and your baby's only 3 days old.
Mm-hmm.
And so things that are unrealistic that cannot even happen, but you're seeing or hearing them happening. And so you will, with postpartum psychosis, you will have bouts of like normalcy. You will have stretches of like a week and I feel great. And then a couple of days where you're not sure what's going on. Your thought patterns are erratic. And this is dangerous because if you are isolated and you are home by yourself a lot, then you don't really have anybody to talk to about what's going on with you. So those are like the overarching, some of the main components of symptoms. But you can also get more information on each disorder by going to Postpartum Support International. They have postpartum.net, really great resource. I've gotten training through them. I'm also going to the conference at the end of June. They are a vessel for information across the United States with different specialists in each area. And also there's a warm line, and there's, you know, the suicide awareness hotline.
Yes, and we'll have these links in the description of this episode for you guys listening. How long should symptoms last for any of these disorders?
Well, if they are true to the disorder, they're chronic.
Mm-hmm.
And so over, you know, out of a week, maybe they're happening 4 days a week or 5 days a week. If they're happening for a very short period of time and very acute, then you can evaluate, like, and the time frame. So if it's baby blues, it's within the first 2 weeks, a whole lot of stuff can be going on. But if it's more than that, beyond that 2 week, we get to, you know, 4 weeks, we get to 4 months, 12 months, and it's just not coming together for you. And I say coming together, like, you're starting to emotionally feel like yourself, but maybe still physically working on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that that time frame, you know, or understanding your kid is 2, 3, 4, and you feel like I have not been the same since I gave birth, then that's a clear indication.
Mm-hmm. And me and Sam were talking about postpartum OCD before we started recording. And I was talking about how a lot of these behaviors, or even anxiety postpartum, can be normalized because people understand the transition and they kind of give grace. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how long does this checking and rechecking have to occur before someone's like, all right, this, you know, she checking that baby a little bit too much. We understand, like, we know you worried, but this seems excessive.
I say if it's more, like, if it's for 3 consecutive days or more,
mm-hmm.
then it's worth, you know, checking, mm-hmm. and exploring. Meeting with somebody, exploring to see, you know, what's going on with you, or if it's your kid, if it's the non-gestational parent or a caregiver saying, hey, I see that you barely get any sleep because you check on the baby every hour to make sure that they're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, I think it was a really good idea, but it definitely ups the anxiety for new parents, is the owlet that you stick on the baby's feet to check the oxygen and the heart rate,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to reduce SIDS. And I'm like, oh, that's such a really great idea. But a lot of parents that I do see that struggle with postpartum anxiety have the outlet. And I'm like, oh, I kind of wish you'd just toss it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure, like, you know, NICU parents, there's a purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does serve the purpose, but it definitely does up the anxiety.
It can contribute in a negative way to some people.
Yes.
Lastly, one thing I heard about, well, you know, when you start looking into stuff and then Facebook be selling you information for ads and then stuff be popping up.
Right.
So I've been looking into, you know, prepping for this, looking into postpartum mental health issues, and an article about postpartum euphoria came up, which seemed like just a hypomanic or a manic episode that this one mm-hmm. person had went through after giving birth. It doesn't seem common as such with psychosis. And, like, looking into it further, it seems to be lumped in with postpartum psychosis. But can you speak to that?
No, this is the first time I'm hearing about this one.
Ooh, I'm going to send you that article. So basically the woman was saying that, you know, symptoms of mania. She had high energy, kind of grandiose thoughts about her her abilities after giving birth. And she was like shopping and walking. I think she had like a C-section. She was like just pushing her body to the extreme because she felt mentally, she felt like she could do it. She felt amazing. She felt great. Whereas her
it sounded like bipolar disorder to me.
Yeah. But. Whereas, well, she claimed that she had no mental illness prior to, you know, giving birth. And then, you know, eventually her body shut down because it just went through all of this and you out here trying to act like you Superman. It's not going to happen. And she ended up in the hospital with like dehydration. It had to be on like bed rest for like 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So uterus probably almost fell out.
All types of stuff. I'm telling you, it gets you got to rest. But yeah, she was like,
please sit down.
She like wrote about it to, you know, give knowledge that, you know, if you're feeling great after giving birth, sure, but
you're feeling a little too great.
Yeah, you can't be feeling that great.
Right. From the quick that I just pulled up, it says that it can be in. This postpartum euphoria can be an indicator for later postpartum depression or psychosis. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And then also understanding, going back to, if you struggle with a mood disorder prior to pregnancy, your pregnancy isn't going to make it better.
Yes.
It usually exacerbates whatever is going on, during pregnancy and after delivery. Mm-hmm. So to have like a finger on the pulse of what's going on with you prior and understanding what your options are and different things to look for during your postpartum phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that good old fourth trimester.
Oh, thank you so much, Salima.
Yeah, this was so insightful. And I'm just really in awe of the work that you're doing. I'm very happy that you're doing it. It's something about Philadelphia. Me and Akua were talking off mic, like, five superstar guests that we've had this season have all been from Philly or based in Philly. And I'm like, something in the water. What are y'all doing?
Either there's something in the water or there's a real need that people are like, I got to step up to. I don't know what's happening in Philly, but y'all out there working. Like,
yeah.
We trying, and I feel like you can build a village together
mm-hmm.
for to be something sustainable, that mm-hmm. everybody trying to be out here doing something individually and hitting a pocket of people here, a pocket of people there. I'm looking to reach the masses. Like, let's reach every person in Philadelphia rather than each neighborhood or only three neighborhoods trying to reach like their people.
Mm-hmm. There's a question I meant to ask. Speak about the prognosis for all of these disorders postpartum, if, you know, given the right treatment.
The prognosis is good.
Mm-hmm.
If you are willing to engage in treatment and solicit some support services, whether, you know, it's your neighbor next door or you can hire some support services, like, the prognosis is good because you'll be in treatment. If you need medication, you'll have access to medication, you'll have coping skills, you have tools, like, you will have the quadrant or trifecta that it'll take for you to recover and for your child to live a happy, healthy life. So you heal a mom, you heal a family, and or you heal, you know, the parents, you heal a family, because everything comes from the top. So if there is discord, if there is emotional instability, you don't have the ability to regulate your emotions, that does impact your infant. Arguing in front of your infant impacts your infant. Like, they may not remember, oh, mommy and daddy had an argument or my parents had an argument, but they will feel the vibration of the room
mm-hmm.
and understand that this is not a safe space right now,
mm-hmm.
which is why your kids cry when you argue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good. I encourage, you know, any person that is struggling postpartum to get help. And I especially encourage my brothers and sisters in the Black and Brown community to rise up above the stigma that says that we don't get mental health treatment and find you a dope therapist, somebody that you can relate to, that's going to treat you and give you the guidance that you need to be successful. Because we out here.
Thank you, Salima. Thank you so much. I'm so excited that we were able to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. Like, just give me a platform and I can talk all day.
Salima, would you share your social medias with our audience?
Okay, so you can follow me on Instagram at Oshun Family Center. If you just put it in, it should pop right up. I like to post content. I'm always highlighting, you know, pregnancy, melanin that's growing and glowing. Mm-hmm. I put up quotes and stuff, and then also like community resources and information for the community. I also have a website, which is oshunfamilycenter.org, that you can go to get the latest information on where I'm holding support groups or if I'm having a conference or how to get in contact with me to set up an appointment. And that's it.
That was a good ass interview.
I'm so excited that I got to get in like my mental health bag and bring that up for maternal May.
I feel like you've been in your mental health bag the whole year.
Have I?
Yeah.
I'm just inserting mental health into every series. Y'all gonna get mental health.
It really started in February when you did the five love languages.
Oh, and I ain't stopped. I was like, oh. There's a crack. I'm in it. There's
every episode, I'm just like, I have no idea what we're talking about, but I am glad to learn. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me, guys. That's what I feel like.
Even, you know, being in my mental health bag, I don't work with a lot of pregnant people. I don't mm-hmm. work with a lot of reproducing people, like, as their main focus. So like hearing about like postpartum OCD, I never thought it was a thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Or even that article on postpartum euphoria. I was like, girl, what is happening after we give birth? Like, I got to go through 9 months of pregnancy. I have to go through the delivery. And then afterwards, more shit about to come my
I have mental health issues.
I'm tired.
And a whole baby.
And a whole
maybe
baby.
Two or three, depending on what happened. Yeah.
Nah.
It's a lot.
Y'all gotta give me a break. I'm tired.
Niggas is really going through a lot out here.
Like, a lot.
People don't understand. Well, I hope they do after this series. Mm-hmm. I hope it shed some light. I think it did. It definitely did, but like, if it didn't, I don't know. Were you listening? I don't know.
Did you know all of this?
Yeah,
before?
Kind of. Yeah,
exactly. Like, why didn't you tell us?
Exactly. They could have just been the one expert, and we have like a 3-hour episode. That wraps up another episode of Inner Ho Uprising. Where can we find you?
You can find us at Inner Ho Uprising first.
I forgot about that.
On Instagram at Inner Ho Uprising. With the G on Instagram, on Twitter, I'm sorry, on Twitter with at Inaho Uprising without the G, Inaho Uprising on Facebook, that's us, and you can go to InahoUprising.com to buy some merch and pay off.
Yes,
and then you can follow me at Hey A Cool Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me at Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos, because the bitch is going places this year.
Ah!
Yes.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Bye.